Off the Groove with Scotty Dubler.
It's Friday, March 15th, 2024. Episode 258 is here. Thank you to Haley. Before we get into the podcast, I want to wish a very happy birthday to Graham. She will be 92 on Monday, and we're going to celebrate tomorrow here in Oklahoma. Florida. Where do I begin? So much fun. Great weather for the most part. It was such a good time. Dad brought my bike down so I could get some riding in on my days off. I only got about 270 miles in, but that was some good throttle therapy. Got to ride with some friends from South Dakota that came down, and then a few guys that play on our pool team came down. My dad drug the bikes down. So had a good time, got to ride a little bit, and we stay on the St. John's River. My dad just loves that river. It flows north, one of, I think, three north flowing rivers in the United States. And we sit right there on the river, right underneath the drawbridge, and watch life pass us by nice and slow. So Florida's always a good time for me, and I'm glad I got to go again and hang out with Dad and some friends. And then I did three races for Steve Nace Racing and two races for American Flat Track. Also, for the 2 days, I gave away four tickets for each night, and guess what? They all showed up, and they all had a great time. I did get to meet some of them and get some pictures with some folks during the open pit area, the open paddock area, they call it. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm going to be doing that again for Sonoya. So stay tuned on Off the Groove. You must be following Off the Groove on Instagram, or you must be a friend of Off the Groove on Facebook, and I'll put up the contest here real soon. So, it's just tickets only. It's not, you know, any travel or anything like that. But if you're going to be in Sonoya, we're going to have a contest coming up real soon. Sonoya's coming up before we know it next weekend, March 23rd. I believe Robbie Bobby's putting on an amateur race the night before, too. So it's going to be a doubleheader down there, but only one is for American Flat Track. Well, I really don't know where to begin, so I guess I'll go chronological order. So on Saturday and Sunday was the 2024 AMA Daytona Bike Week Flat Track Championship Series, and that's for Steve Nace Racing. Saturday and Sunday, we're at a new track for Steve Nace called Just Add Dirt. Steve was having troubles finding a racetrack that was, you know, reasonably priced, that was good enough for our riders. So we did 2 days up at Just Add Dirt, formerly known as The Clip. Also before that, it was Putnam County Speedway. I used to call it Palatka, and I'll tell you that story in just a minute, but actually, I'll tell you that story right now. It was the second day when Dad and I were visiting. We figured out that we had actually raced there before. It's funny to figure things out like that, but anyway, they have new owners, new dirt. There's very long straightaways and tight corners. It made for some interesting racing. On Saturday, 194 riders, which put them into 40 different heat races, two semifinals, and 30 main events. On Sunday, 186 riders, 36 heat races, two semis, and we got to run about three main events, so I think we rained out about 23 main events, but they end up paying off of the heat races and the semis, so it worked out good for some riders, of course. We all would have liked to have got the main events in, but the rains were there, and then the rain stopped, and then there was a clear sky, but there was more rain coming, and as we left there and headed back towards the south, it rained on us the rest of the way back to where we were staying. So I think Steve made the right call by canceling that. The track was really racy. Since they have long straightaways, a lot of the bikes were actually shifting down going in the corners. Some of the guys are going in really high, squaring off the corner, shooting off the next corner low, which makes that next straightaway really long. And then opposite end, they may have done something totally different. So two different corners at each end made it for some interesting racing. The dirt was a little bit soft on the first day, but they got it worked in, and it was really, really fast on Sunday. Tuesday, Daytona International Speedway Short Track, 268 riders, which equaled 54 heat races, 8 semifinals, 32 main events. We got a late start. We got in the pits a little bit late. You know, it was an issue with things getting into the racetrack. One line coming through, and there's some other things behind the scenes that I won't get into that we'll keep private. But you know, we got in there a little bit late. And then we ran one round of practice for all the competitors. I know a lot of the teams and riders were a little upset about that. We did one 6-lap practice session instead of 2 4-lap sessions. So really just saved on time. And then we got started with the heat races almost immediately after practice. We did a little bit of track prep, put on some water on the racetrack, and then straight into the heat races. And like I said, with 54 heat races, we had to keep the show going. And we're on about heat race number 5 or 6. And next thing I know, Steve Nace came up to me and says, "We have to keep the show going. Do what you can." So I as an announcer, I tell the next heat race to get in line and stuff like that. Through practice and stuff like that, I tell people, you know, when the track is clear, send out the next group. But whenever I'm announcing, that job gets handed over to somebody else. And down there is Rick Tibbetts. And we just kept the show going as fast as we could. Of course, you know, with a few incidents on the track that slows you down a little bit. But we were told about through heat race number 5 that we had to be completely done by 6 p.m. I never heard a reason why, but we figured we better get the show going. So we knocked out the heat race just as quickly as possible, went straight into the semifinals. After the semifinals, we did put some water on the racetrack, but at this point, the track had so many bikes, there was a lot of rubber on the racetrack, so it was pretty racy. There was one hole slash bump coming out of turn number 4 when they got up close to the wall. That would get worse and worse as the week went on until they got to bring out the grader and kind of mow that down a little bit or plow it down a little bit. But all in all, a great day of racing, you know, for the amateurs and the vintage riders. It was nice that they had air fence up around the outside. That was from the AFT crew set that up. And I think we punctured one right off the bat, but they got that changed, you know, so fast that it didn't even hardly slow the program down at all. But anyways, we had a great day at Daytona, and the track held together very well for as many bikes as we had. You know, for the week, for the 3 races, Steve had a great rider turnout. We had riders from the United States, from Canada, England, Australia, Brazil, and Buenos Aires. So that was a new one for me. I've never heard of anybody coming over from Buenos Aires to race with us, but that was pretty cool. I ended up announcing 208 races, and we rained out, like I said a few moments ago, about 25 main events or so up there at Satsuma. And after the races on Tuesday, we did hand out the number 1 plates just for the amateur classes. The vintage series will continue on, but for the amateurs, it was a 3-race series. And we'll get into the number 1 plates and some of the results. I'm not going to go over every bit of it because there is a whole lot. I've actually sitting here looking at 8 pages of results. That's how many riders there were, but I'll hit the highlights. 50cc chain, junior class, Cruz Texter got all 3 wins. He didn't have very much competition in that one. I think had 1 or 2 riders a couple of days. 50cc chain, senior class, it was Odin Music from Michigan taking the win with 3 wins. Ella Nickens was second. 50 PW shaft, 4-8, Cruz Texter again, 3 wins. He only had competition on that last day at Daytona. Brinley Schultz showed up, and Brinley ran second. 50cc chain shifter class, Cruz Texter gets 3 wins in a row. He had competition there at the Daytona Short Track. Chase and Cooper Jazikoff were there. 65 production, 7-11. Wesley Settle with 2 wins would get the overall number 1 plate. Jackson Joyner got 1 win at Daytona. And Odin Music would get 3rd in that class. Just moving up to a little bit bigger bikes is Odin. 65 modified, Wesley Settle with 1 win and 2 seconds. Jaden Nickens would get a 2nd, looks like a 3rd and a 1st to get 2nd overall. And Jackson Joyner with 1 win at the 2nd day up there at Just Add Dirt would be 3rd. 85cc production, it was Jaden Nickens with the clean sweep. 3 wins in a row would get that number 1 plate. Jaden is now riding for Turner Racing. He's part of the amateur squad for Turner. And the 85cc modified 9-15, it was Jackson Settle, 2 wins and a 2nd. Jet Katarzy from California would get, it looks like, a 2nd, a 3rd, and a win at the Daytona Short Track. And Jaden Nickens would be 3rd overall. 85-200cc class, Jackson Settle, 2 wins and a 2nd, would get the number 1 plate. Jaden Nickens 2nd with 2 seconds and a 1st, and Kyle Smithson was 3rd. 100-200 4-stroke, basically your Mad Dog Mini class. Colby Chandler with a 2nd and 2 wins. Ethan Salmon from California with a 1st, and then no points on that 2nd day and not a good finish on that Thursday with 2nd. And Will Pendergrass would get 3rd overall. The women's class, I was a little bit disappointed about the women's class. I think, you know, Brianna Mulvaney, she only rode the women's class on the 1st day and took the win. But then it was Megan Grimmel who showed up at the 2nd day and the 3rd day, and she would get 2 wins in the overall number 1 plate. So only 3 of them were racing in the women's class. I was a little bit disappointed about that. 250 modified. Now we're getting up to the faster guys and girls. Adam, the Budman, Costin would get the overall with one win. Cody Mishy got the first race win, but would end up second overall. And Ryder Bitsay, California Ryder, one of the nicest kids, very, very polite young man in the pits from California. He would get third overall, and he consistently got better as the week went on. And also in that class, Sam Drain got eighth overall with one win. He did only ride the Daytona short track. So Sam, the Slammin' Sam, would show up and get eighth. 250 production class, Adam Costin, the Budman, number 88. That's Ron Wood's stepson, but he calls Ron dad. He's pretty much raised him. That's why he runs the number 88. He has a second and two first for the first overall in the number one plate. And Cody Mishy, with a win at the first round, would get second overall. And Braxton Reagan, part of the FBI, Fast Boys from Illinois, would get third overall in the 250 production class. 450 modified. Now we're getting up to the bigger riders. Again, you have to be 14 years old or older to race in the 450 class. The 10 of Walker Porter took three wins in a row with a clean sweep and the number one plate. Skylar Sintel, a third-generation flat tracker, would be second. Carson King was third from Illinois. James Arnaz from California would be fourth. And KTM Johnny, Jonathan Connaby, would be fifth on the 22 bike. 450 production. Carson King gets the overall with two wins. Dylan Durrell was second. He's very consistent. And Brandon Ramsell from Maryland would get third. 250 to open singles. So this is where you have 12-year-old riders on 250s and, you know, at least 14-year-old riders on 450s and older. And they all mixed it up. 25 different competitors in this class. So this is one of the biggest classes all week long. Walker Porter, three wins. Another clean sweep for Walker Porter. And Skylar Sintel was second. Aiden Johnson from Pennsylvania was third. KTM Johnny Connaby was fourth. And Brandon Ramsell would be fifth. The open heavyweight class. This is where the rain had something to do with the win of the second race. But Walker Porter, trying to get that clean sweep of the week, would get a first, a second, and a first because Carson King, who got second overall, he had a faster heat race there at the second day up there at Just Add Dirt, so he got the win, so that would stop Walker Porter from the clean sweep. But Carson King was riding very good all week long and just had a faster heat race that day, so he got second overall. James Arnaz was third, Jonathan Connaby was fourth, and Dylan Durrell, Davey Durrell's son, would finish up fifth. Vet 25 plus class, Brett Bolus with two wins would get the overall number one plate. Colby Chandler from Kentucky would be second, and Simeo Lawant from Brazil, the number 43, would get third overall. Senior 40 plus class, Simeo Lawant from Brazil, two wins would be good enough to get the overall. Ray Priestley was second, and Scott Kohler was third. Super senior class riders, 50 years old and older. The 27C, Greg Boyle, second and two first, would get the number one plate. David Tayo, last year's AMA Vet Rider of the Year at the Flat Track Grands, would get second. And Rich Mellinger from Pennsylvania would get third. He's very consistent, but settles for third overall. Masters 60-plus class, 60-year-old riders and older. Dave Tayo would get the win for Michigan. Dwayne Stanek was second, also from Michigan. And Darren Phillips from Pennsylvania would get that third spot. We did race an AFT singles class. We only had four different competitors. They weren't allowed to race at the Daytona Short Track, so they only raced the first and second days. But Logan Eisenhardt, we get the overall. Brandon Newman was second. Wyatt Vaughn was third, and Jacob Vandecoy was fourth. There was only one AFT twin showed up there at Just Add Dirt, Cameron Smith, and they were getting some testing and tuning on that KTM riding now for the Varnes family and Schaefer's Motorsports on that KTM. And I think it paid off and made him, dust the cobwebs off. He'd been racing some of the ice races, so it's good to get Cameron back on the dirt. He was the only AFT Twins rider to show up, and there was an open quad class. Let's talk a little bit about vintage. No number one plates were handed out because that series will continue on, but 1940s vintage 750s, Dennis Goyer was the winner. 1960s vintage 250s, again, Dennis Goyer the winner. 1960s vintage 750s, it was Daryl Jack Kubowski the winner. 1970s vintage 250s, Hayden Hathaway on a Bull Taco would get the win. One more side note about the amateur races there at Daytona Bike Week at Daytona International Speedway. Little Jack Brooks, Jack the Ripper, announced that he will be riding for First Impressions race team on the Husqvarnas. He did show up and race the short track on Tuesday. He got second in the 250 production, second in the 450 modified, and second in the 250 to open. So congrats to Jack the Ripper on the number 13. Now Husqvarna doing it for First Impressions race team. And that's a little recap of the 2024 AMA Daytona Bike Week Flat Track Championship Series. Now let's move on to the big show, the Royal Enfield Daytona Short Track. Before I start talking about the results, let me just talk about the track a little bit. It's not one of my favorites. It has never been one of my favorites going down there. It's just different. It's got some moon dirt. It's very hard to get a hold of. I personally like the track over there on LPGA Boulevard better. But, you know, we want to be in front of the fans. So we moved and built a racetrack outside Daytona International Speedway Turn Number 1. And they brought in some white dirt to look like the beach or to look like the other track. And it's been different. It's kind of been a very different racetrack. But by far, the racing this year was the best it's ever been. And I don't know what to contribute that to. I don't know if it's just because the track has matured. It's sat there for a while. I did notice the color of the dirt is a lot darker than it used to be. And I don't know if that's from, you know, the dirt from underneath the white dirt coming up through it. But the track was very racy both nights. It was different both nights, which I think was good too. There was a couple of holes on the first night, especially the one I talked about from Steve Nace's races on Tuesday, coming off of turn number 4, getting up by the wall, and then going into turn 1, a crater, just showed up. And it's like where the bikes are hard on the brakes, where they pitch it sideways into the corner, and the hole got bigger and bigger. They would stop and fix it as much as they could with the little time without, you know, slowing down the program too much. But that hole caught a couple riders off guard. You know, Brandon Newman and Cody Johncox both went up and over the handlebars, and both of them broke their collarbone in the exact same spot. So it's just one of those deals, especially when you're racing 2 and 3 wide going into turn 1, somebody's going to go right through that hole, and it just kind of bounces you up and over the handlebars. So another thing I noticed is, back when we first started racing there, the dirt didn't go all the way up to the walls on the straightaways. There was a little bit of a grassy area. Well, now they've widened the racetrack all the way to the wall, which I think maybe there's some darker dirt up there against the wall, maybe a little bit softer dirt by the wall because we haven't raced there as much. But when they were getting up by the wall, man, I saw Dan Bromley really bounced off that wall. And, you know, he hung on to it by staying on the throttle to pull away from the wall. And, you know, your instant reaction would be to slam on the brakes. Well, he laid it over as far as he could, bounced those tires off the wall, hit his ankle basically on the wall and the tailpipes, but, you know, stayed on the gas and just kept going. So it was a little bit wild and crazy, but that's part of the reason we go to the races, you know, to see the wild and crazy stuff. Anyways, a huge shout out. This is the first time we're on Flow Racing. I've heard nothing but good response from the people that watched it. The only negative response I heard was the price. Well, if you think about what you get when you pay for Flow Racing, you get a whole lot more than just flat track. I know Grandma and Pa watch racing, it seems like almost every day on Flow Racing. They can stream something, they can go back and watch, you know, replays of other things, and they just love it. And I heard the quality is a little bit better than Fans Choice, but the biggest thing is they donated $5,000 for the fastest lap for the first race for both of the AFT classes. It could have been your fastest lap in practice. It could have been your fastest lap in qualifying, your heat race, your last chance qualifier, your semi, or the main event. Of course, at that particular track, it was when the track was fresh. It was early on, so it was probably the first practice session, more than likely. Both days, actually. But the first day, they got $5,000 for having the Flow Racing fastest lap. And I think that's huge. It's $500 for the rest of the races here on out through the end of the season. So that's awesome that Flow Racing is giving back already to our sport. Let's talk about Thursday, day number 1. They actually had a test day on Wednesday. I'm not even going to get into that. Nothing really stuck out to me other than all the new colors, the new brands, and different things like that. But let's talk about the racing. The Mission Super Twins, Dallas, set the blistering fast lap when the track was fresh right out of the bat. And then Sammy Helbert comes right back out on the XR750, the old Harley Davidson. And then he was fast. Then Dallas was fast. Anyway, Sammy ended up being the fast qualifier. That put him on the pole of heat race number 1. In the first heat race, Sammy would take the win. Brandon Price would be second. Briar Bauman was third. Vandecoy was fourth. Cameron Smith was fifth. And Dan Bromley on the new Honda Twin would be sixth. It's good to have a Honda back in the Super Twins class. Briar had to go from the back of the pack. I think he fell down, had to go to the restart at the back. and he went around the outside, found the high line. Eventually, that high line would go away, but Breyer worked his way all the way up to third. I think Sammy Howard was just dialed in on the XR750. Heat race number two is Brandon Robinson, the 32 of Dallas Daniels, was second. Jared Meese was third. Davis Fisher, fourth. The 21 Blackjack Trevor Bruner would put his 21 KTM into the main event for the very first time of his career in his first outing in the Super Twins class. And Ben Lau, who switched on over to ride a KTM, he would get that final transfer spot out of heat race number two. In the last chance qualifier, it was the 10 of Johnny Lewis getting the win. Colby Carlisle second, Bronson Bowman third. Then you got Wyatt Vaughn, the 107, making his first main event in his debut in the Super Twins class. Morgan Mishler on a backup motorcycle, supposed to be on the Honda. He was riding a Yamaha. He would go into the main event. And then Declan Bender on the Grumpy Old Men Racing number 70 would make his first main event right there out of that last chance qualifier. So that's three brand new riders into main event number one at Daytona. In the challenge race, it was Sammy Hubbard taking the win. The 44 of Robinson was second. Price was third, and Dallas Daniels way back there in fourth. So maybe Dallas was trying a few things. Maybe he just didn't get a good start. But, that's not where the championship is won or lost. That's where you can earn an extra $5,000. So that's set up for our main event. It was Dallas Daniels taking the win. Brandon Price, a second-place finish. Brandon Robinson was third. Then you have the 67 of Fisher getting fourth, and Sammy Hubbard would end up getting fifth, and I thought originally he was going to get disqualified. The black flag did come out a few different times. Early on, a huge puff of smoke came out of the 69. Sammy kept going, and he said he was in a pack of riders, didn't really know for sure if the black flag was for him. Well, when all that stuff was going on, he was leaking oil onto his own brakes, so he was having trouble getting his Harley slowed down. Ended up being the primary cover. I heard originally it was the starter shaft seal, but it was the primary cover. Lost some bolts, must have been just a little bit loose, and was leaking. There's not a lot of oil in that primary cover, but whatever oil was in there was not in there at the end of the night. So Sammy is credited with fifth, even though he's black flagged. So according to the rule book, if they show the black flag, they have to show a board with the number of the rider that is getting black flagged. So that's the whole logistics and the whole deal of the Sammy Hubbard black flag. So Sammy was fifth. Jared Meese was sixth. Vandekoy seventh. Breyer eighth. Cam Smith ninth. And Dan Bromley tenth on that new Honda. So it's Dallas Daniels' third consecutive Daytona short track win and eighth win of his career. I hope I cleared up the little bit of black flag stuff. And I think, AFT looked at the rule book and they knew if they would have, black flagged him, he could have protested. He would have won. So they just went ahead and cut to the chase, looked up the rule book, admitted they made a mistake by not having that board out with the 69 on it. And we move forward. To continue on Thursday, the Parts Unlimited AFT singles presented by Kicker. Chase Sadoff was so fast in practice and qualifying. In heat race number one, he would be on the pole, but it was going to be Tom Drain taking the win. Dalton Gauthier, who always goes good at Daytona, he was second. Chase Sadoff was third. And then we have Bruce Evans fourth. Justin Jones, who always does good at Daytona from New York. And then we have the 55 of Raggio on a new ride, riding on a KTM this year. He was the last transfer. Chase was so fast, but I kind of watched the race through the racer eyes. And I look at it, and if you were on the inside, you kind of had to go into turn one and then make a hard left-hand turn, where if you were position two or three or even four, you can make a sweeping turn. Well, it looked like Chase got in a little bit too low, hit the inside berm, and really screwed up, how he's sitting on the bike and screwed up his momentum. So he ends up way back there in that third spot. So it's just a learning process. And I felt bad for Chase because he was so fast early in the day. Heat race number two, it was Cody Kopp taking the win. Trent Lowe, who fell off on the first lap, started on the fourth row, came from the back of the pack to get second. Travis Petten, with an excellent heat race, would get third. The 131, Evan Kelleher, in his rookie race, would get fourth. 63, Jared Lowe. And 66, Logan Eisenhardt, would get that last transfer spot out of heat two. Last chance qualifier, the most highly anticipated rookie coming in for a little while. The 265, Evan Rensch on the Turner Honda, would get the win. Hunter Bauer was second. James Ott was third. Taryn Santero fourth. Chad Coase on the Waters Auto Body KTM was fifth, and Landon Smith with his new number 87 would be credited with sixth and get the last transfer spot. In the main event, it was Cody Kopp, and he was dialed in, but they exchanged the lead a couple times. Dalton led early. Cody made a few passes, but at the start-finish line, Dalton led the first 11 laps, and then Cody Kopp took over from there, and he led the last 11 laps. They went 22 laps total in the singles class. Great battle between the 1 and the 79. Nice, clean race. There was a little bit of drama on the last lap, last corner. I didn't see it. There was no cameras on it, but Chase Sadoff and Tom Drain made contact going into turn number 3. Chase continued on. Tom Drain went down. There was some controversy saying that Chase put him down. I talked to Chase. He said we did touch. He said, I don't think I put him down. He said, I don't think I hit him at all. He was just sticking a wheel up the inside. So Drain wasn't too happy about it. The Estenson team was a little upset, but Drain would get up and finish in 15th. So for Cody Kopp, it was his third consecutive Daytona short track win and 16th win of his career. So just put that stuff in perspective. Cody's chasing three records. He wants the most wins in a season. He almost had it last year. He wants to win his third consecutive championship. Nobody's won three in a row in the singles class. Him and Dallas Daniels have won two in a row. Cody's looking for his third, and he wants to have the most wins in the AFT singles class. Now, Cody is up to 16. Shayna Texter-Bowman is currently at 19. I'm going to talk about the Royal Enfield Build Train race program just a little bit. It was really good racing there, down to only 8 ladies. Morgan Piller still was up in the hospital up in Wisconsin. She's fighting an illness. And then one of the ladies crashed on the practice day on Wednesday. So they only had 8 bikes. They were supposed to have 10. But it was Taya Little from Welland, Ontario, Canada. She took the win, and she led every lap for her first win in the Royal Enfield Build Train Race program. Kinsey Luker, a solid second. Maya Maffei was third. Shasta LaRue was fourth. And Michaela Nichols would be fifth. And that wraps up day number 1 of Progressive American Flat Track at Daytona. Day number 2, Friday. It's so weird because normally we race on the weekends. Well, at Daytona, we race Thursday and Friday. Friday was day number 2. The track was faster. The track was definitely smoother, and they kept making it smoother every time there was a break in the action. They'd bring out, the Harley rake to turn it up a little bit. They'd bring out the skid steer to drag it and flatten it as much as they could, and they kept watering the track. I would like to have seen a little bit more water. I think the little machine they're using on that trailer, you'd have to go at a snail's pace to put enough water on it out of that. So maybe a little bit different sprayer. I'm just looking at hindsight. The racing was awesome. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just trying to think of ways to make it better for next year. But the racing was great. Like I described to you folks leading up to this event, a fist fight in a phone booth. You're not going to go to the Daytona short track and make any new friends. You might lose some friends, or you might just chalk it up as good hard racing and then talk it over when you get back to the pit area. But like I said, second day, the track was even better. And then we did see Tom Drain in the singles class set the fastest lap of the weekend in practice with a 17.887. All the rest were like in the 18 second range in every single time the bikes were out there. So like I said, the track got faster the second day. In the Mission Super Twins heat race number 1, it was the 44 of Robinson, your heat race winner. Brandon Price was second. Jared Meese was third. Breyer was fourth. Davis Fisher fifth, and here comes the last transfer spot goes to Trevor Bruner, so he makes his second consecutive main event. Heat race number 2, Sammy Halbert on the XR750 would take the win. Dallas Daniels, the night before's winner, would be second. Johnny Lewis got things, looked a lot better on the second day. He would get third. Cameron Smith was fourth. Dan Bromley fifth. And Jared Vandecoy would be the last transfer. Out of the last chance qualifier, the 36, Kobe Carlisle taking the win. And I said this on the broadcast, it feels good to win a race. It doesn't matter if it's a race to the restroom, if it's a heat race, if it's a last chance qualifier, or even a challenge race. It feels good to take that checkered flag first. So that's some confidence, I think, for the 36 of Colby Carlisle. Ben Lau was second. Then you got Maxwell making his first main event on that latest Motors Harley Davidson on the 18 bike. He had a little mechanical on the first night, but Max makes his first main event here at night number 2. Wyatt Vaughn, they call him Red, he would get his second main event. So would the 70 bike of Declan Bender. And Logan McGrain would make it directly out of the last chance qualifier, and that would be his officially making his first main event. He did use his provisional the night before, but Logan The freight train McGrain makes both main events down there at Daytona. And he, like I see, he used provisional the first night, but made it in on his own on that second night. In the challenge race, the Mission Too Fast, Too Tasty Challenge, Sammy Halbert would take home another $5,000. The 32 of Dallas Daniels was second, Price was third, and Robinson was fourth. So just like the night before, fourth place in the challenge would be good enough to win the main event, because here comes Robinson, and Robinson has this place dialed in. He loves this track. This will be his fourth Daytona short track win. Sammy Halbert charged as hard as he could, kept Robinson honest, but would end up second. Dallas Daniels was third. Breyer gets up to fourth. Meese would get fifth. Davis Fisher sixth. Vandecoy seventh. Trevor Bruner eighth. Brandon Price ninth. And Max Whale, a career best finish in his first main event, a top 10. So it's Brandon Robinson's fourth win at Daytona and 14th of his career. More on him in just a minute, because he is going to be our stat of the week. In the AFT singles class, Tom Drain was fastest in practice and the fastest lap we've seen, a 17.887. He would go on to be in heat race number two because his fastest lap was in practice. It wasn't in qualifying, so he would be in the second heat race. Dalton Gauthier would win heat race number one. Kopp was second, Sadoff third. Eisenhard was fourth, Ruse Evans was fifth, and Travis Petten would be sixth. Heat race number two is Tom Drain taking the win. Trent Lowe would be second. Ott is third. Justin Jones fourth. Evan Renshaw this time going directly out of the heat race. And Taryn Santero would get fifth. In the last chance qualifier, the 55, Tyler Raggio would get the win. Chad Coase is second. Jordan Jean third. The 106 of Reese the Beast Podor from Kansas would make his first main event with a fourth place finish in this last chance qualifier. And Shorty Ian Wolf, the 157, this would technically be his second main event, but this time he earned it. I talked to him earlier in the week, and he said that he actually used a provisional to get in his first main event in his rookie season, but this is the first one that he felt like he earned it, and he was pumped up about it. And then Jared Lowe would get that last transfer spot. The 121 would use a provisional. That's Cassio, so he would also qualify for his first main event, this time using that provisional start. In the main event, Tom Drain showed that he was a little bit upset from the night before and he wanted some revenge. Well, he got his revenge by leading all 22 laps. Cody Kopp was second. Dalton Gauthier third. Sadoff was fourth. Eisenhard. I felt bad for him. He was up there in third for most of the main event. And I think Dalton Gauthier just got tired of following him and kind of just shoved his way through. And I think the experience and maybe 22 laps for Eisenhard is a lot. So once Gauthier got by, Sadoff comes on by two, but a great finish for Logan Eisenhard. The 66 would be fifth. Justin Jones would be sixth. Ruse Evans, seventh. Ott, eighth. Renshaw, ninth. And Trent Lowe way back there in 10th. Royal Enfield Build Train Race, night number two. An emotional win for Kenzie Luker. And she won that for Andrew's grandpa who passed away. And that's why she runs number 17, is for Andrew's grandpa. And Andrew's grandpa got the victory lap there a few years back when Andrew won there. And Kenzie wanted to win down there because it's very important to her. Andrew stayed at home, was with the kids, and they were racing go-karts the next night. But Kenzie Luker leads every single lap, and she's very emotional on the podium, and I understand that. Taya Little would be second. She closed in at the very end, but she would get a first and a second for the weekend. Maya Maffei would be third. Shasta LaRue fourth, and Michaela Nichols would be fifth. So my takeaways from round one and round number two. I just wrote a few notes here, and my takeaways were, like I said, best racing I've seen at this particular track. And I can't explain why. A lot of the reasons I've talked about already. AFT made a mistake, but they owned up to it, and they left Sammy Halbert in fifth. We talked about the black flag, and I talked about that issue earlier, but I like that the fact that they made the mistake, they admitted it, and they won't do that again. They're going to make sure that board comes out when the black flag comes out. So I'm not 100% sure that I agree with, you know, Sammy Halbert continuing on. Looking back now, he was in the middle of a pack. You know, it is what it is. I can't change it. I'm a huge Sammy Halbert fan. I love the way he rides. I've been a fan of his ever since he was, you know, 43W up there in Washington State. And I was happy that he carried the national number 43 after I had the 43. And I'm not saying that what he did was right or wrong. I'm just saying that when the black flag comes out, you pretty much know if you're getting the black flag. At any rate, Sammy kept going. It paid off for him because he got fifth. Meese continues to struggle at Daytona with a 6th and a 5th place finish. So I don't think he's too worried about it, though. I mean, he never leaves there with, you know, a lot of points. A 6th and a 5th, not too bad. And two different winners, you know, that way, you know, if Dallas Daniels would have won both the rounds just like he did last year, he would have had an even bigger margin leaving there. But Meese, I think he's content right now with the 6th and the 5th. I know he wants to win there before he retires, but he'll have to give it another shot next year if he comes back. What I was thinking about, too, on the way home, 6 races, if you count 3 classes, 2 nights apiece, and 6 different winners. I like that a lot. Trevor Bruner was very impressive on his first race on a twin. Seemed like he's teamed up, you know, with Dave Zanotti, Michelle DeSavo. Seems like that team works well together. I can't wait to see them on a bigger track, more seat time. I think Bruner's just going to get faster. The most impressive to me was Brandon Price on night number one on a brand new team, a Yamaha. Price has kind of bounced around a little bit, rode a lot of different motorcycles, but he just looked right at home on that Yamaha and gets all the way up to 2nd. He did have 2nd-degree burns on his right knee. So when you ride a different bike for the first time, you know, rider positioning is probably set up for a different rider. So he was sliding so far forward on the seat, putting his right knee up against the radiator or possibly even going all the way into the cylinder head. I'm thinking the radiator. And, you know, you're wearing leathers, but it's still burnt through there. So he had to deal with that all night long. And that probably, you know, I haven't talked to him, but I'm assuming that that was probably a factor in the second night. You know, you're thinking about it. They built a little bit of a radiator shroud to keep his knee off of that. But, you know, anytime you're not able to do what you were doing the night before, squeeze that bike with that right leg to, you know, push that bike down in the corners, it makes you ride differently. So I'm still most impressive of the weekend for me, Brandon Price. The Price is Right on the first night. And I think I talked about Cody Kopp already, but he is on his way to trying setting 3 records and put his name, you know, cement his name in the history books. He's working on 3 different records for the AFT singles class. Sonoya, just 8 days away. Get your tickets now on the website and use the code SCOTTY to get $5 off, just like we did the first 2 rounds. Use the code SCOTTY and you can save $5 on general admission tickets down there in Sonoya. Get them while you can, AmericanFlatTrack.com. Also, what we did for the very first time at Daytona was what they call an opening ceremonies trackside fan experience. So I think about this as a race fan. I would love to do something like this if I went to like a different series or like Supercross or something that I don't announce. You know, I think this is pretty cool. So it's $150 per person per day. Reserve seating with full event pit access, which is incredible right there. A guided tour of the infield, the podium, and the start-finish line. A photo opportunity at the podium and the start-finish line. Sometimes most people don't ever get into the infield of a racetrack. They never hardly get on the podium of a racetrack and take some pictures and on the start finish line. So all that is so cool. And you also get to go to the infield during the Parts Limited singles and the Mission Super Twins heat races. At Daytona, there was a corral built in between turns 3 and 4. At Sonoya, probably a little bit different area because it's a lot bigger racetrack. So, but to still watch the races from inside, I think back of when I went to England last year and the guy, Anthony, and everybody took me to, and Colbert Jeff, but they took me to Oxford Speedway Racing. And for about 3 or 4 heat races, I went to the infield of the racetrack. And it's just totally different from being in the center. You can turn around and watch the racers as they go by. And you can smell it. You can feel it. Just like, you know, it's just a little bit different than being in the grandstands. So for a small upgrade, you can do this. The opening ceremonies, trackside fan experience. And there's also one more feature. You get a tour and some photos and a track walk with former champion of our sport, Brian Smith. So there's limited quantity is available. AmericanFlatTrack.com. Upgrade your seat and have some fun down there at Sonoya. Upcoming races, there is a whole lot going on, which means it is definitely racing season. So tomorrow night they're racing at Thunder Mountain Speedway, which is in Kentucky. That's an RPM race. March 23rd, we talked about it, but that is AFT Sonoya. I'm going to do some giveaways. You must be following Off the Groove or, you know, be a friend of mine off the groove there on Facebook. Also, March 23rd, round number 5 of the World Championship Ice Racing Series. It is the championship round. The championship will be decided. So I'm expecting probably Wyatt Vaughn and Logan McGrain possibly won't be at Sonoya. You kind of have to pick and choose when there's two races, and they both mean a lot. So we'll see who shows up to which race. March 30th, Lodi Cycle Bowl is their season opener. Also going on March 30th at Tri-City Speedway in Granite City, Illinois. That's another round for the RPM Series. April the 6th, the RVA, the Eddie Boomhauer Memorial at Virginia Motor Speedway. That sounds like a good one I'd like to go check out. April the 13th, GNHC, Grand National Hooligan Championship at Snake Hill Speedway. That is in Elkmont, Alabama. The next day is April the 14th, that's Pekin Motorcycle Club. That is their season opener. That's a short track. Also, April the 21st, Grand National Hooligan Championship Series at Hunterstown. That is in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And then the last one I have on my notes right here is Lebanon, Ohio, April the 20th. That is an RPM race. And there's a lot of RPM races. So there's a few upcoming races right there. I'll let you know some results of whichever ones I go to or whichever people send me results from. So, man, I know this podcast has been long. It's the longest one I've had in a while. I didn't have one last week, and I had a whole lot of racing to talk about. And I love sharing what I learned and what I've seen so far this season. But it's time now for the stat of the week. And I'm going to talk about Brandon Robinson. This guy's got Daytona figured out. He's very strong. He's still riding the Indians. He's out there giving these guys a fit. I'd love to see Robinson get up there and be in the mix for the championship. But my stat of the week is a little history on Brandon Robinson. He went pro way back in 2007. He got his first win at the Daytona Short Track in 2013. He did go off and win Springfield in 2013 two times. He won the Lima, Ohio Half Mile in 2016. He won Atlanta 2019. He won the Paris Track out in Paris, California in 2019. He came back and won Daytona in 2020 two times. He won in Volusia in 2021. He won the Oklahoma City Mile in 2021. In 2022, he went on to win Lima Half Mile, the Cedar Lake Half Mile, and Volusia. So he won Volusia twice, as well as the four wins at Daytona. And he just won again there on Friday night at Daytona. So 14 total wins in the Grand National class for Brandon Robinson. He is my stat of the week. Before I wrap things up, I want to say a huge thank you to American Flat Track. I know I spread the gossip about American Flat Tracks because I love it. And I just want to say thanks to them for, you know, providing me with a discount code for the listeners here on Off the Groove. $5 off if you use the code Scotty. And that's going to be at all of the AFT event races, not necessarily all of the races, but I'll keep you informed right here on the podcast of which one those are. And I'm going to have some free tickets coming up for the Sonoya Short Track. A big thank you to all of my listeners. You guys are why I do this. Thanks to Jim and Pat for always providing me with the paperwork that I need. Thanks to Tim at Pro Plates. I'm getting Ralph Shaheen a number plate built for Ralph so he can add it to his collection. Thank you to Access Media for designing my logo. Thanks to TDFJ, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of American Flat Track, and they created a pendant necklace for me here at Off the Groove. If you want more information on that, get a hold of me. And last but definitely not least, probably the most important, are my patrons. The people that support this podcast, you guys mean the world to me. I keep doing it because of you, and I keep doing it because of all my listeners. And that's all I got. I know it was a whole lot. I know I talk fast because I get excited because I love this sport. So that's all I got right now. I'll talk to you guys soon right here on Off the Groove.